Thanks for joining us for this edition of Forward Church Online. Today's podcast was recently recorded at one of our live worship experiences. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. Come on, somebody say stretch for more. Stretch for a whole lot more. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. We're going to go back to Isaiah. It will be the last final time we'll be here. We're not going to get stuck in this verse, but I felt like it was important to go ahead and lay the groundwork. But I want to say this. I believe that everything in this book, how many knows what this is? The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. That was my soulful version of Vacation Bible School. But I believe everything in this book, cover to cover, is inspired by the Word of God. And by the Word, who is God. Do you believe that tonight? I don't believe that it's okay to water it down so that you can consume it much easier. I don't believe that it's cool to do that. I also don't believe that anyone should add to this. I don't think God needed any help with it. It was a one and done deal. This is the word. It's inspired by God, and it can change our life. I also don't believe that it's okay to omit or remove anything just because I don't like it or I don't understand it. And I really think that it's not so much that I'm going somewhere with this, by the way, but I don't think it's so much that we remove items because we don't understand it as much as we remove them because we don't like how it makes us feel. We remove it because we don't like the fact that it causes us to stretch. I get it. Not everybody wants to be used of God. Not everybody wants to be stretched. I get it, but I don't get it. Okay? It's pretty boring life to not desire to be used by God. If God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Amen? I thought about this. I said, when I was thinking about that, because a lot of people have a hard time. They're like, well, water it down so other people can, you know, they'll receive it or add to it to make it a little better to what you're trying to do or take away because you just don't like it. Let me say this. There is not one thing that God has ever asked of me in his word, whether it's loving people, serving people, forgiving people, giving, tithing, whatever. There's not one thing that he has put on me or asked me to do that has ever hurt me. That was powerful when it hit me today. There is not one thing in that book that he's asking me to do that has ever hurt me. It's my disobedience that has hurt me. God has never and never will hurt me, but people will. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. And I don't know. I know it's going through the airwaves for a specific reason. There is not one thing that God will ever ask of you that will hurt you. Anybody that tries to omit, remove, add to, or water down, it's because they don't trust. Lack of trust. I don't know about you, but if Amy and I don't have, if we have a lack of trust in our relationship, I don't have much of a relationship. I have what is convenient for me. That's when we add to, remove, all those things. So always remember, God will never ask of you something that will hurt you. It's always to benefit you. And the church said amen. Amen, amen. Had nothing to do with my message other than the fact that we are in the final conclusion of the series, Stretched for More. Everybody say for more. God will never stretch you to leave you empty. God will never ask of you anything that he doesn't want to put something better inside of you. And he is the best. He wants to fill you with himself. Amen? So let's go to Isaiah 54, beginning with verse 2 tonight. And it says this, enlarge the place of your tent. You're thinking, dear God, please get off this verse. We've been on it for like 3 weeks. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cord. Strengthen your stakes. Why? For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. We will inhabit desolate cities. And the church said, I'm ready for that. I've really been feeling the nudging that there's more that God is wanting to do in us. This is where this series came from. There is more that God is wanting to do in us personally. There's more that he wants to do through us. He wants to use us more. He wants to use this ministry more. But with that nudging came an urgency. And I felt the urgency today in my dining room probably more than ever before. There's an urgency to do it now. Everybody say now. Don't wait till it's more convenient. Don't wait till, well, maybe if he stretches me later, it won't hurt as bad. No. Allow God to stretch you for everything he wants to do for you and through you. Amen? In order for God to do more, he's got to stretch. Yes, stretching prevents injury, but I thought about it this way. It also is a precautionary step that we must take so that we don't mess up what he does bring. Before I go to the gym, I'm stretching so I don't break something because I'm getting ready to put something heavier on me. But when God wants to put something heavy on us, it's important that we stretch so that when he does bring it, we don't mess that up. I was talking to Adam and Sarah today and who are kind of co-laboring with Dad with the young people because of his schedule. It's on every other week. But tonight is the first time in a year and a half that we've opened up the gym to do gym night. Somebody said, well, that was an easy deal. That's because your dad was the principal. No. It was business as usual. It's taking out insurance. It's filing all the paperwork. It had nothing to do with who Dad is. It had everything to do with we're following the rules. And this is what I told Adam and Sarah because I sent them a text today and I was asking all of these details about what they were covering. And then we also met with volunteers back here today and I told them the exact same thing. We have one shot to get this right. Forward cannot take, I'll just say, can't take another setback. Can't take it. Churches, it's like we move up and then we come back and things happen and we, no. We got to go forward. And tonight is a big deal. And when you start preaching messages like stretch for more, the enemy shows up and he goes, are you really serious? And this is how I described it to Adam and Sarah today on a conference call through the phone. I said, they're like, man, you seem like you're a little wired up. I said, I am. I said, it would be the same as if I took Ansley Grace to the mall and had to stay outside and I watched a sexual predator eyeing her from around the corner and I couldn't get in to do anything. It's the exact same thing that I feel in the spirit that the enemy is doing to people in this church, because when we start wearing rubber bands and say, God, stretch me for more, he's like, he's just waiting for us to turn our backs to one area so he can swoop in. And so I said, make sure you've got this, this, and this, and this tonight. Because you can no longer think, well, it's Chieflin, it's small. And I told Adam, I said, you could have 30 kids or you could have 300 kids there tonight. You need to prepare always for the big. And when you say, God, stretch me, be prepared. I got to slow down. Be prepared for God to bring the big. Be prepared for God to unload his greater on you. But always be aware that the enemy is right around the corner. And I felt so helpless thinking of Ansley in the mall and me watching a predator watching her and I can't get to her. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, that's the same way the enemy is to you in your homes right now. Somebody say, well, am I supposed to be scared of the devil? No. He doesn't have any power. His power is in deception. When he begins to deceive you, then you give up your power and that's the power he takes, is the power you give up. He doesn't have any power. But it's urgent. It is urgent that we begin to stretch for more. So in part one, we talked about enlarging our tents and strengthening our cords and strengthening our stakes. And I was talking about how each one of us, it's time for us to take the rope and to lengthen and stretch. I don't know. It's so that we can make the it's not to make the ministry great. We don't want to have a big tent so people can look at our tent. We want to provide a place for more people to come in. And then we talked about people, who's going to drive the stakes, who's willing to hold the stake, who's willing to go out here and say, I'm willing to stand in the gap and hold the stake out here so that lives can be changed back there. So the same way God healed my marriage, he can heal their marriage. The same way he walked with me through all kinds of junk and crap in my life, he can do the same for somebody else. And I'm willing to stand in the gap out here so somebody else can receive in there. Somebody say, stretch for more. We're expanding and we're strengthening. We're expanding you, expanding your influence so that God can use you to reach other people. Because when you're strong and healthy, we have a strong and healthy church. And something that I found out a long time ago, when you have weak people, it leads to a weak church. That's why it's important that we strengthen you and get you strong. Amen? Somebody said, well, I'm okay, I'm strong. Then get stronger. get stronger. In part two, we talked about allowing God to fill us. It's the purpose of being stretched. We're stretched so that God can then fill us. But you gotta connect, and you gotta stay connected to the church. You gotta get hooked up. And the first point that I gave you last week was you can expand more than you think you can. Remember, I had the balloon, and how I talked about how when we blow balloons up, we blow it up just enough so we don't pop it, right? But if you go to the store and you ask them to blow the balloon, they know the pressure that it can take, the potential of the balloon. Same way God knows with us. He knows our potential, and he will stretch us so he can get the most out of us. Amen? He wants the most out of us. God wants to expand you and stretch you and then fill you with his spirit, fill you with his love, so that you can take that same love and give it away. You can take that same love and give hope. You can take that same hope and give it away. You know, when you go to the store and you ask for some balloons, they say, "Who's it for?" I don't think I've ever heard anybody go, "Well, it's for me." But see, that's how most Christians do. They want to come get filled up, and then they want to keep it for themselves. But see, what God wants to do, he wants to be like Oprah. Come here, hold this mic for me, Tammy, real quick. We didn't plan this, didn't talk about it, but this is what I'm seeing. But God wants to be like Oprah and say, you get love, you get grace, you get forgiveness, you get it, everybody gets it. You get love, you get grace, you get mercy, you get forgiveness. See, so when you get it, you got to give it away to somebody else. You don't walk into a store and go, "Well, I'm buying these just for me." You don't come to church just to get filled up for yourself. If that's all you're for, congratulations, that's a boring life. But God sent his son Jesus, watch him, to give it away. God sent Jesus. What was Jesus' whole purpose? What was his life spent out to do? What did Jesus come and do? He died for you and for me. He gave himself up. And that's the same model. That's the same thing that God is requiring, or God wants us to pick up on, is that whatever we get, we're to get it and then to give it away. Amen? Come on, give Jesus Christ a praise offering tonight. Come on, somebody say, expand me, oh God, for what's coming. For what's coming. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For we are not overextending ourselves." Stop. How many people go, "Dear God, I can't take anymore. I'm stretched. I'm giving everything I can. I'm serving in every area that I can. I try to show up to church all that I can. I'm singing as loud as I can, even though Pastor Bradley keeps saying sing louder. I'm doing all I..." Oh my God. It says, "For we are not overextending ourselves as though we did not reach you. For we were the first to come all the way to you with the gospel of Christ." He said, we reach people. That's the purpose of this ministry, to reach people. What's God about? People. What are we about? People. It's called outreach for a reason. We got to reach out. That's why it's not even about these candy eggs that we're getting ready to fill this stage with and then take over there. It's not about the eggs. It's about the people that are going to bring those eggs. They're going to have all kinds of love and all kinds of hope. Little kids that get cussed out by their parents may not get fed but one time a day. But we're going to show up, and they're going to be in our presence, and they're going to feel something they've never felt before, and it's called the love of Jesus. It's not a church that's going to change people's lives. It's when the church understands what's inside of them. The reason you got so many dead churches is because it's full of Christians, and he is not impressed with a church that's full and a church bank account that's just banking. Okay, because as it comes, my prayer is, God, send the money so we can go out. I'm not concerned with, you know, paying the building off, which that's great, and I don't, you know, we're going to be good stewards. But all I'm saying is, as it comes in, it's got to go out. We're called to impact people. Whatever he's done for us, give it away. Come on, somebody say, give it away. These cities will not be reached unless God's people reach out. He's not impressed with how many people we can get in a church. What he's impressed with is when we understand that there is purpose and potential inside of us, and we're stretching so that we can be filled and then give that away. That's what's going to change this city. I feel like my message hasn't changed. Well, that's because his message never changed. He was always about people. There'll be times, there'll be messages to strengthen you. At the same time, then the church gets strengthened. But in the same moment, it's important that we remember what the vision is. Had another church in this city, in this area, that questioned what this ministry's about. What's the mission? What are they about? It's in big, bold letters on our website. It's been there probably like 5 years. When we brought the website up, it says, to show you who Jesus is. Well, that's not a mission. All this other stuff isn't leading people to Christ. When we show, and on the website, it's capital letters. It says is. Show him who he is, not your description of who you think he is. We're going to love like Jesus, serve like Jesus, give like Jesus, extend our arms open wide like Jesus, regardless of how you smell, how you stink, who you slept with last night. That's the message that they need to hear. It's cool. I'm not in competition with anybody. But when people want to know what we're about what God's about. We're about people. Jesus is the reason. And we want to show you who he is. Now that's compartmentalized. There's so much inside of that that we could expound on. But when people come to the website, they don't want to read some 5-page documentary on what you believe. No, we believe in Jesus and we want to show you who he is. We're about reaching people who are far from God and bringing them back to a closer relationship with Jesus. That's it. Stretched for more. Somebody say, stretch me more. Oh, he's stretching me. Come on, Scott. Listen, our schools will not be changed until we reach them. Your job will not be changed until you reach them. This city will not be changed unless we reach them with the love of Jesus Christ. Unconditional love, not a love based on, well, did they take a bath last night? How many tattoos they got? Bless God, your preacher's got one. Preacher's got two. But it's so that I can always know what I'm about. It's not about me. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ that lives within me. The life that I live for him, not myself. See, every time I look down, when I don't feel like it, well, it's not about me. I've been crucified with Christ. And no matter what God allows me to do, I always remember Romans 15:1, that strength is for service, not status. It doesn't matter how strong he makes me or what he allows me to do, as long just stay humble and watch what God will do through your life. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's keep moving. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 says this: we are hard pressed on every side. Y'all know this verse. Hard pressed. You're in good company. Hard pressed on every side, but listen, not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. Oh, you may be persecuted. I don't think anybody in here really has been persecuted. Not like Jesus, not like the 12. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, not destroyed. Man, how many times have you been, how many have ever been struck down before? Just everything just blown up in your face, struck down, but you're still here. You know why? Because God's got a plan for your life. He's not going. God is in control. If he was done with you, you wouldn't be here. Come on, Richard, tell me about it. The reason you're here is because he's got more for you. The greatest thing that I saw the other day on my Facebook page was with a picture of you two at the marriage conference when the enemy tried everything, as a matter of fact, everything but to kill you, to get you not to be there. And you were able to go. Come on, give Jesus Christ a praise offering in this house tonight. If it takes getting you laid up in a bed at Shands for 30 stinking days, be stretched for what God wants to do more in your life. I mean, struck down but not destroyed, persecuted, you're not abandoned. Stop looking at the flip side of how bad it is, flip the script and go, but how good is it? You still got breath in your lungs? Praise God, do something for him. Okay, I'm getting a little carried away. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Why? So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. I died to myself. I said, I'm no longer going to do the things that I like to do. It's called sin. The things that I'm not going to do those anymore. Why? So that his life through me might shine. When people go, well, that's the same cat that used to. Yeah, I did. I used to. I sure did. My sin may not look like yours. And sin is pleasurable for a season. But before the enemy tried to take me out and my season was over, I changed course and said, God, I know and who I belong. I'm changing so that others might be changed because of you through me. For we are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. We're not overwhelmed. We're not overstretched. God knows your potential. He wants to expand you so you can extend reach to other people. Skip on down to verse 16 through 18. It says this, Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yeah, life sucks sometimes, but that's not the scripture. I know you just like, where's that? What version is he reading? Life gets out of control sometimes, but don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. God wants to renew you through your crazy life. Through the stuff that's meant to destroy you, God wants to take that thing and build you up. God is doing something inside of you, inside of me, and it's something big and it's something greater. He's getting ready. How many believe that tonight? When Ansley was a baby, I knew, we're talking about growing, and I'm going to wind it down in just a minute, but when Ansley was a baby, we didn't throw some Cheerios on the floor and go, here, eat up. All the mamas and daddies in here, y'all know we used to sit down beside them at the table and break out the little choo-choo. Choo-choo, you know, and then when that didn't work, you had to go airplane. And just so their mouth would open up, like, oh, that's so cool. And then you cram it down, and y'all remember those days? It's like if I can get her to go, wow. But I remember as a father, it was my responsibility to make sure that she had the nutrients that she needed to grow. Did Ansley always like what mommy and daddy gave her? Mm-mm. And y'all know that face that they made when they don't like it? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. It's like Alcatraz. Can't get in and can't get out, right? No, if they didn't like it, it was coming out. But we knew what she needed. And we knew what was necessary to help her grow and to get her to the next level. The same applies to us in the church. God knows what you need to help you grow because he's trying to get you and I to the next level. And we're getting there together. Somebody said, well, I thought you were up there. No. We're all on the same level. We're learning and growing together. And we're going to get to the next level together as we grow and stretch for him. Amen? Hallelujah. The same is true. The same is true in our lives. Today, he sits down and spoon feeds us and says, I need you to grow. I know it's not pleasant. I know it's uncomfortable, but I need you to take this so it can get you to the next level. I know you're stretching, but keep stretching because what I have for you is much, much more amazing. Come on, somebody say, he's preparing me. He's stretching me and he's getting me ready for something incredible. Do you believe that tonight? He's getting you ready for something incredible. He's getting you ready for something. I'm just telling you. I'm pausing because I'm trying to be sensitive to the Spirit. He's getting you ready for something incredible. Your incredible may not look like my incredible, but guess what? This is what happens in the church. Well, I've been serving. How come they're getting blessed more than me? How come their incredible looks different than mine? You know, when incredible shows up with you, we're going to celebrate you and your incredibleness. That's what we got to do in the church. Amen? Everybody say next level. That's how you play at the next level. That's what you do. Point number two, you can't rely on yesterday's inflation. This is brand new. You can't rely on yesterday's inflation. Remember what I told you last week when I had all those balloons? Everybody wants to, oh, come on, let's go do something big for Jesus. And then within 2 or 3 weeks, you look around like, where did sister and so-and-so, where'd they go? Well, because life hit them and they didn't stay connected. You remember I had the tank, they didn't stay connected. It's not a one-hit wonder. He wants to fill you on your job, fill you in your car, fill you in the church, fill you right before you go to bed at night. He wants to fill you. When you stay connected, anytime, instead of waiting until it gets all the way on E, whenever you start depleting, God just wants, you're right there. Just fill me up. Don't let the reason you don't show up at church because you're empty. I've never understood that. I'm just empty. I just don't have anything. It's time to flip that script. It's time to change that mentality. Amen? People get so pumped up from conferences and camps and I'm going to serve, and you run into them a couple weeks later and you're like, are you the same cat that was like, hey, we're going to do this? What happens? They're deflated. Why? They didn't stay connected. All of a sudden, you can't depend on them. You can't count on them. You can't rely on them. That's why it's important to stay connected. Point number three. And I got one more after this and we're done. Point number three, maximize your potential. Maximize your potential. The reason our churches are filled with Christians doing a whole lot of nothing is because they don't recognize what's on the inside of them. That's the reason why churches are not talking about this kind of stuff, because they're cool as long as you're giving and the bank account goes up, we can pay this off and do this, and we just have a fat house. It's not about the house. It's about the people that fill the house. It's not about building the house. It's about building people. Just in case you want to know where my priorities are. Somebody say, give it away. Listen, if you'll let us pastor you, if you'll let us walk with you through those dark, don't run and hide when you have a dark day. Let us walk beside you. Let us run with you. Let us walk with you. Let us do life with you. Our goal is to reach inside of you and mine out the gold. That's what our job is as leadership, is to help you find out what your potential is, and then you be the best at what God has created you and designed you to be. God has placed gifts and talents inside of you, dreams inside of you. In closing, did you know that 80% of the people sitting in churches don't even know why they're here on the planet? I'm talking about people in church. Don't even know why they're here on the planet. Have no idea the potential. Why in the world, with all the churches in this Tri-County area, we hit the numbers last week, 50,000 people living in Levy County. Why aren't the churches full? Because they have no clue of what's inside of them. The power that's inside of you to walk into your house when it feels dark and ugliness, and you can go, I have the power. Devil, you don't belong. This house belongs to Jesus. You have that. When people understand the potential that is inside of them, the same power that is inside of them, there's no excuse of why our world, my personal world, looks the way that it does. I control that because I have the power. Ephesians 2:10. Did I put it in there? I didn't put it in there. There it is. I almost fired myself. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, to do. To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He created us to do something. To do something. All the churches in Chiefland Tri-County area were taking up residence, but yet he called us to do something. Do something. Not just come to church and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. That's not fulfilling purpose. That's a portion of it, worshiping Jesus. I know y'all are like, uh-oh, wait, what you talking about? That's a portion of it, but that's not truly fulfilling purpose. He's saying, I've got something for you to do. God didn't create you and then look at Gabriel and go, we got something for this cat to do. He didn't. There was a purpose prepared, then he created you for that purpose. There's a purpose in advance. What does God want to do in you? That's the question. What does God want to do in you? He wants us to understand our purpose. Purpose before place. And I've been praying, God, send broken people. Send hurting people. Send them. Send them. Send them. Stretch us for more. Send them. Somebody, but isn't this church big enough? I guess you don't know the heart of God. It's about people. It's about people. It's not, is the church big enough? It's who's still missing in the church? Who's still hurting? Who's still broken? Who still has broken dreams, shattered life? Who are those people? The church isn't too big until those people are made whole. All these seats that you guys are sitting around, they represent somebody in this city. And I believe these seats will be full. I believe these seats will be full. Why? Because we're trying to impact and change our city. You may not know this, and I'm going to close. But there is a group on Tuesday mornings. I believe y'all start at 7:30 across from the school. Is that correct? 7:30 from this ministry, but it's not going to just stay in this ministry. It's going to grow to the other ministries. While the students are across the street learning and growing, we've got a group of people that felt the urgency to pray for their protection while they're across the street. We're not standing on the sidewalk holding up Forward Church sign. No, no, no. We're just praying for their protection so that they can learn and grow without any effects of the enemy. When you start doing stuff like that, don't kid yourself and believe that you're not getting the enemy's attention. So the same thing I told the volunteers back there about watching the babies. Your role and the reason why you're here is no small thing. It's no small thing. God doesn't do anything small. It's always big. It's always big. But until we stretch, we will never be able to contain or hold all that He wants to do. I'm just telling you, I believe in this town, God wants to do something unlike has ever been done here. And my prayer is, God, allow us to play just a part of what you want to do in changing people's lives. Because until we do that, I just got a question and say, is He going to look at me and go, well done, that good and faithful servant? Faithful doing what? Loving people, serving people, helping people, walking with people who are hurting. Our mission and our purpose is people. Let's stand together. I hope you feel the heart of your pastors, that it's not forward, it's not about forward, but it's about helping broken and hurting people. That's our prayer. That God would use us to touch people. Touch people who are going through crazy things in life. Even though we're going through crazy things in life. God, how am I supposed to help them when my life's kind of crazy? It blows my mind how, and you've seen it happen before, that when craziness is in your life and you begin to help somebody else, your craziness doesn't seem as big. And God will heal you. Because why? Because you're giving and serving. Father, I thank you for this night. God, I thank you for these people. God, you are drawing an incredible group of people together who are willing to be stretched for so much more. God, I ask that you would continue to send the broken, send the hurting here, and use us to reach those that are far from you. Not just into a religion, but a relationship with you. Let's just say this together. Thank you, God, for stretching me for so much more. Use me, God, for more than I could ever imagine. Bless me. Use me. My life belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.